The test is in four parts, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
Part 1.
You will hear a conversation in a gym between a customer and a receptionist. First, you will have 20 seconds to look at questions 1 to 3. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 3.
Hello, and welcome to Smith's Gym.
Hi there. I'd like to become a member.
Yes, of course. We just need to fill out a couple of forms, and then I can show you around the gym.
That would be great.
Let's start with a membership form. Can I have your name, please?
Yes, sure. Brad Simmons.
Is that Simmons with a D or without?
Without. S-I-M-M-O-N-S.
Got it. And can I take a contact number, please?
Yes, sure. It's 04983-5521.
OK. 04983-55531.
No, it's 21 at the end.
Great. And do you have an email address?
Yes, brad07@elemnet.com. That's elemnet.com.
Right. Now, we've got three membership types here. Bronze, which is just off peak and costs £21 a month. Silver, which means you can use the gym at all times. This is £36.50. Or for just £5 more, you can get a gold membership, which gives you free access to the squash and tennis courts and all classes.
For now, I think I'll just take the silver.
That's fine, sir. That'll be £36.50 a month.
Great. When can I start?
Well, you'll need to have an induction first. We have spaces at 2:30, 4:45 and 8:15 tomorrow. Would any of these be suitable?
I can't do tomorrow. Do you have anything for Saturday?
Is that the 12th of November?
No, it's the 11th.
Yes. Yes, that's fine. Would 2:30 be okay?
That's fine.
I'll book you in with our trainer, Rob Ellis. Now, would you like me to show you around?
That would be great.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have 20 seconds to look at questions 4 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 4 to 10.
OK, follow me. Let's go up the stairs to the main equipment room. As you can see, we have all the treadmills, bikes and rowing machines in here, and the weights are in the corner.
Great. And is that the pool over there? Can I use that with my membership?
Yes, at any time. Just go through the glass doors on the left. As you can see, the pool is dominated by the diving board at the far end. It's impressively tall. And on the right-hand side of the pool, you can see we have two lanes. The first one is a slow lane for those who are trying to improve their fitness. It gets really busy. The lane on the far right is what we call the club lane, because we reserve this for people who have membership. It is slightly less busy and the members can get a really good workout in it.
That sounds great.
Yes, it is good. And then near us, you can see a smaller area sectioned off nearly halfway across the pool. This area is where we put the school groups, which come in the late afternoons during the week, usually from about 4. We keep them confined to that space so that the other end can be used for free swimming.
And what is the little round pool for?
We call that the toddler's pool. It's not very deep, and the mothers often bring their children in to teach them to swim in it.
Great. Well, I'm glad I can use the pool. It will be good to vary my exercise.
Definitely. When do you think you'll be coming?
Most likely in the evenings. I'd like to come on Saturdays, but I often work then, so I think I'll have to miss that day and then come on Sundays.
Oh, so you'll be a regular visitor. That's great news. Can I ask why you chose Smith's Gym?
Well, actually, the television advert prompted me to join. It makes exercising look so much fun. I always thought going to the gym would be monotonous.
No, not at all. It can be a lot of fun.
My aim is to reach my optimum fitness. At the moment, I think I'm a bit unhealthy, so I'd like to change that.
Well, give it some time and I'm sure you will. Now, shall we go back and complete the payment details?
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear a tutor giving students a tour of a self-access centre. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now listen and answer questions 11 to 16.
Okay, so here we are on the first floor. The self-access centre is just along here on the left. This room's very popular with students and can get quite busy. When it's quiet, you can come here as often as you want. But if there's a lot of demand, such as coming up to exam time, we have to limit sessions to make sure everyone gets a chance to use the resources. If you'd like to follow me in, so, here we are. As you can see, it's a lovely bright room with lots of resources to help you with your English studies. Over there, against the wall, we have a row of internet-connected computers. As you can imagine, these get taken very quickly with students wanting to check their email, Facebook, that kind of thing. Because of the demand, we ask students to try and stick to about 30 minutes maximum. You'll need to log in with your username and password. You should have created these already during your induction. Please do not share your details with anyone else, and please make sure you read our policy on using the internet. I mentioned the help desk earlier, and that's it over there, just past the computers in the corner. There are usually two members of staff available to help you, and these will often be teachers, so if you have any language questions, that's where you can go. Now, over there you can see the reference section. You'll find dictionaries, exam practice tests, vocabulary and grammar books. I should point out that these books are for reference only, and we don't offer a loan service. We are allowed to make photocopies of one or two pages, so if there's an exercise you need a copy of, ask the staff to help. Now, these computers on the oval table here, they're our high-spec PCs. You'll find programs to help you with your English, but also opportunities to practice other languages, such as Spanish, Chinese, German, several languages in fact. Some of them require a CD-ROM. You can collect them from the help desk. By the way, there's no internet connection on these computers, nor any office software for the time being. If you want to do any word processing, you'll need to use one of the laptops we keep for this purpose. Again, see the staff if you need one of these.
Before you hear the rest of the tour, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
Some of you were asking earlier about extra listening practice, and these small rooms here are dedicated language labs. If you want to use this resource, see a member of staff to buy a set of headphones. And finally, here on the left, we have two stands with our large collection of readers. These are simplified novels by well-known British authors like Charlotte Bronte, Charles Dickens, and Shakespeare. The books are graded, and you'll find lots that will be appropriate to your level. Unlike the reference books, you can take these readers home and keep them for up to 14 days. I think that's everything. The centre is open from 8:30 till 5:30 during the week, so as your classes start at 9, those of you who get here early can use the resource before your lesson. Although it's open all day long, it's booked by a tutor for their class now and again, so you might not be able to gain access if you have any free time during the day. It's best to ask the tutor concerned if it's okay to pop in. Oh, and it's open on Saturday as well, just for a few hours, from 10 till 1.
That is the end of part 2.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 3.
Part 3.
You will hear a talk about a company by a chief executive.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 26.
I'd like to start by welcoming everyone to our annual meeting and thanking you all for your hard work. It's been a great year for us in terms of expansion and optimising business opportunities, and I'm pleased to say that Benchmark Consulting is a thriving, successful company. I'd like to take this opportunity to give you an overview of where the company began and where we'll be going in the next 10 years. For those of you who've been with the company since the start, sorry if you already know all this, but we have so many new staff members that I thought it would be worth filling in some background information. Benchmark Consulting was set up in 2000 by James Cox, a local entrepreneur who opened the first office in Melbourne. His real achievement was to create a new consultancy system which enabled clients to see which of the key areas of their business needed strengthening. James was incredibly successful with his system and started the company off on a journey of expansion. He retired in 2006 and was succeeded by Fred Montgomery. Fred shared James's views on consulting and continued the expansion. He increased revenue to $5 million and opened a new office in Perth. Soon the Benchmark Consulting system had become just that, the benchmark for many other consulting firms, and Fred took the opportunity to sell Benchmark for $10 million in 2008. Our new owners are, as you know, TFB Group Limited, and their investment has allowed us to build our brand new headquarters here in Sydney. TFB Group have brought us more exposure at a national level, and our most recent success has been winning a contract with the Government of Australia, advising on management restructuring. Now, we ourselves have done a little reorganisation over the last year to maximise our productivity. We've thought long and hard about the best location for the marketing department, as this is the key to facilitating our future business. Although Perth has a large number of marketing companies, which enables us to learn from our competitors, it's Melbourne that's the gateway to international connections, and therefore we've decided to move all marketing operations there. In terms of professional development, we wanted to optimise the training programmes available to our staff because training is vital if we want to remain competitive. As a result, staff training will no longer be here in Sydney, but instead will take place in the Perth office, where new facilities have been installed. Finally, we've looked at how to optimise our back office administrative functions. Currently, each office has its own admin department. However, this is proving to be less efficient than we would like. In order to resolve this situation, all these functions will now be centralised here in Sydney.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 27 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 27 to 30.
So, what does all this mean for the future? Well, after 10 years, I've decided that Benchmark needs a new vision for the future. I think it's time for us to divide up parts of the business into smaller units. Therefore, over the next 5 years, I aim to set up two small subsidiary companies in order to focus on international expansion in Europe and Asia. There are many organisations in emerging markets which could benefit from our experience and skills. Which leads me to the next point for future development, that of increasing our workforce. It's become clear that all our departments are understaffed, so we'll be taking on more employees over the next year. And the really good news is that to make us a desirable employer, all positions, current and future, will receive a salary increase of 10%. Lastly, I know that some people are worried about the financial aspects of having to move to another city as part of the restructure. So Benchmark will be providing a relocation package to all employees thus affected. This is because we would like you all to remain with the company for the foreseeable future.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part 4.
Part 4.
You are going to hear a student giving a talk about her research project on the subject of urban design. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 37. Now listen and answer questions 31 to 37.
Okay, everyone. This week it's the turn of Carol to talk about the progress of her research project. Over to you, Carol.
Thanks. Yes, hello, everybody. I'm going to talk about something called shared space and the research I'm in the process of carrying out into people's attitudes to this, as it might affect them in their local community. First, I'd best explain what shared space is. In essence, shared space is an approach to urban design that attempts to open up Main Street junctions more to pedestrians by reducing the dominance of motor vehicles. It's a form of planning associated with a Dutch road traffic engineer called Hans Mondermann, who believed that, by sharing the space available, drivers become more aware of pedestrians and drive more carefully. Pedestrians are able to move more freely in this shared space, and the number of accidents is reduced. Shared space design is usually employed in urban centers where pedestrians congregate, such as in shopping areas. It usually results in demarcations between vehicle traffic and pedestrians being reduced or removed altogether. This includes features like curbs, road surface markings, and traffic signs. There are many examples of shared space in operation abroad and in the UK, for example, in Kensington High Street in London and Giles Circus in Ipswich. In addition to a decline in accidents, those in favor of shared space also claim additional benefits such as a reduction in unsightly street furniture, like signs and metal guardrails, which can be replaced with more trees, planters, seating areas, and other aesthetic improvements determined by local people. With these urban centers easier to get around in, supporters claim that people are more inclined to shop there, and as a consequence, the center can become a more thriving area for local people and businesses. Here are some before and after photographs of shared space developments to give you an idea of what it looks like. Despite all its advantages, shared space is opposed by various interest groups. Some motorist organizations claim that the system means drivers lose important information through the reduction of signage. Those representing blind people argue that removing features such as curbs, railings, and barriers between pavements and roads takes away familiar support and means this group of people cannot negotiate their way as easily as other road users. Cyclist representatives have also criticized some aspects of the scheme, arguing that, despite benefits, some cyclists feel more bullied by motorists and consequently less safe. Supporters of shared space themselves also point out that a lack of experience and understanding of shared space by planners can lead to negative experiences for all these groups.
Before you hear more of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 38 to 40. Now listen and answer questions 38 to 40.
To carry out my research, I approached a local campaigning group in my area who were interested in adopting shared space in our local shopping center. I discovered that they were very keen to get feedback from local residents on shared space, and because of the experience I'd gained in research methods, they were keen for me to construct a questionnaire for them. The focus group have a website and an active social media presence, and they decided that the questionnaire will be available as an online survey. Hard copy questionnaires will also be used for face-to-face interviews. There are plans to leave paper questionnaires in the local library, but this is still under discussion. Interviews using the questionnaires will be carried out with pedestrians in the area itself. The group don't have the resources to deliver additional questionnaires to the homes of local residents, so this option was dropped. We have met on several occasions to agree on the data the focus group need. I've pointed out that if they want valid results, the questions must be totally unbiased and not in any way loaded to encourage participants to give the preferred answer. Also, we mustn't assume that participants have sufficient information to answer these questions. We're currently looking into how we can best present the concept of shared space during interviews. I've designed some of the questionnaire, and I'd just like to spend a few minutes going through it with you. I'd be grateful for any feedback you have.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.